136. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, imploring Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is in His holy habitation. He is God who setteth the solitary in families. The God of Israel is He that giveth strength and power unto His people.
Let God rise, let His enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate Him flee before Him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
God is in His holy habitation. He is God who setteth the solitary in families. The God of Israel is He that giveth strength and power unto His people.
Be with you
and with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who art always more ready to hear than we to pray, and are wont to give more than either we desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of thy mercy, forgiving us those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Trinity is from the 22nd chapter of the book of 2 Samuel. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. And as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyes. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then all the apostles, then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. This is the word of the Lord.
My heart trusted in God, and I am well. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my God. Be not silent to me, hear the voice of my supplications. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Also, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of Light, very God, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended in heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen.
sermon text from Luke 18, verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are two words which we need to distinguish this morning. They are the words justification and sanctification. Justification is not something which you do or accomplish. It is a declaration made by God. When God gives us His word about something, then it is true. Our triune God takes a sinner and declares that He is righteous. And by righteous, we mean He is a saint. This declaration of God is a fulfillment of God's promise, which is concerning faith in His Son. So, the person, by himself, only sinner. A sinner who has done sinful things. However, through faith in Jesus Christ, that same sinner is credited with Christ's righteousness. And thus, God declares him to be righteous and thus a saint. He is, by his own action, a rotten sinner. But by the declaration of God and the perfect life of Jesus, the believer is now a sinner and a saint. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus' parable presents to us a tax collector. The tax collector brings nothing to God's throne. He has led a sinful life, but now he repents of his sin. He trusts in Jesus for his salvation. The tax collector pleads for mercy. And at the end of the parable, Jesus declares that the tax collector was justified. Justification. Declared to be righteous. The sinner is declared to be a saint. The righteousness of justification can only be true if it is a declaration that Jesus' righteousness or perfect life has been credited to the tax collector apart from works. However, the Pharisee comes before God and declares that he is righteous because of his own righteous acts. The whole reason for Jesus' parable was to teach that no one is justified by their own keeping of the law. Those who trust in themselves that they are righteous will find that they are not declared righteous by God. Oh, the Pharisee says it of himself, but it is not true. This is not a minor matter. Maybe you have heard someone say, well, we're all trying to get to the same place, as if minimizing the differences in teaching and what people believe. But Jesus surely does not minimize the differences in teaching here. You see, the Pharisee had done many outwardly impressive work. He was fanatical in keeping religious practices. His list of accomplishments and his ongoing habits were evident to everyone around. However, it does matter what you believe. Not just words, what you believe. The Pharisee, despite his desire to be saved and his great effort in trying to achieve some kind of righteousness, he is neither saved nor righteous. The Pharisee who trusted in himself is rejected by God. The second word we need to take a look at this morning is sanctification. While justification is the declaration of Jesus' righteousness, which is outside of you, but then is credited to you, sanctification is the actual production of righteous works by you. Yes, you actually do righteous things. With sanctification, God works in the believer so that he produces righteous or good works. So remember, both righteousness and sanctification is God's work, but justification is God declaring it. Sanctification is God working it actually in you. With sanctification, God works in the believer, so he produces these things. When the believer comes to faith, he realizes the graciousness of God in having given him his salvation, and the response, which God has worked in him, is one of thankfulness and praise. Good works are acts of thankfulness produced by the believer. So you see, the same God who works faith through the hearing of the word also works good works by giving us his Holy Spirit so that we have a new heart within us. You see, there are not some believers who do good works and others who don't. Each and every believer has had a renewal of their heart and has been given the Holy Spirit. Those who have been declared righteous are also given a Holy Spirit. They know that they are a sinner and that God has graciously declared them to be righteous so that they're going to heaven. And now every believer wishes to give thanks to God for what he has given to them. Once again, the tax collector is that perfect example of a believer. He knows his sin, but he desires to please God. He comes to church, but he has nothing in his hands. He gives to God thanks and receives help. He pleads for mercy, and the Lord gives it. The problem with the Pharisee is he is trusting in his own religious works in order to justify himself. Furthermore, these works of the Pharisee, they're not even good works at all. Good works, by definition, are those things done out of thankfulness for Jesus' salvation. Even though the poor are helped, even though the church is supported by the Pharisees' offerings, they're not really righteous. They're not good works. Because, you see, he's using them to try to get something from God. It's not out of thankfulness. Not only is the Pharisee not declared righteous, but he's not sanctified either. Only the justified can do righteous works, sanctification. Apart from faith in Christ, you can neither love God nor love your neighbor. Let me highlight two things. First, the Pharisee trusted in his own actions. And by trusting in his own actions, he's actually poking his finger in the eye of God and offending him. Because you see, our Heavenly Father provided a way of salvation, and that was through his dear Son. It involved the suffering and death. But when the Pharisee trusts in his own works, he's telling the Father he doesn't care about Jesus. He'll do it himself. He's rejecting God's means of salvation. Second, those who trust in themselves for their salvation will also, of necessity, also exalt themselves over others. Yes, they will be prideful and conceited. They will compare themselves with others, and they will look down in contempt upon others. Like Cain in the Old Testament, they will even persecute those who have received God's declaration of righteousness. Abel trusted in God and was declared righteous. Cain persecuted him. This persecution will not allow the church to be at rest. God will continue to teach his way of salvation by grace through faith, and there will be believers who are justified, declared righteous. But the Pharisees in the church will despise, they will look down upon, and finally they will persecute the true believers. So therefore, our God who knew this created divisions. And I tell you, not all divisions are bad. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19. For there must also be factions, that would be divisions, among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. So not all divisions are bad. Now, yes, if Christians are divided because of unimportant things, like the color of the carpet or whether they raise their hands in prayer or fold them, then we ought to be ashamed. However, there are divisions which are God-pleasing. The first division we already saw when Cain was sent away by God himself and his offering was not received. One of the ways in which we confess the truth is by rejecting falsehood, by making a division between that is true and that is false and separating one out from the other. In the case of this Pharisee and tax collector, Jesus makes a division. He declares one of them to be declared righteous in God's sight, and the other remains in his sin. The reason for this division is that the righteousness which Jesus freely gives, that it might be seen to be at the center of the Christian life, the center of the Christian faith. As the Lutheran confessions state, justification, being declared righteous, is the one teaching by which the church stands or falls. Luther himself said, if this one teaching stands in its purity, then Christendom will also remain good and pure, undivided and unseparated. But when it does not remain pure, it is impossible to ward off any error or sectarian spirit. And so you see this separation, this division, is that we might keep justification, what Christ has done for us and the declaration that comes through faith, at the center of the church. For if you get justification right, everything else will fall into place. If you don't, nothing else matters. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Page 143, Create in Me. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
Almighty God, everlasting Father, we are like all men. We are sinful and unclean, but we give you thanks, for you justify us through faith in Christ apart from our thoughts, words, and deeds. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have
by the preaching of your word, you give to your church the boldness to humble ourselves, and with repentant hearts, lead us to cry out, Lord, have mercy. You teach us to cling only to Jesus Christ for our righteousness, so that we might faithfully perform good works. We ask that you would give all pastors, including our Bishop James and our pastors Michael and Gary, the will and ability to always preach justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Bless our director Keeley, as well as our teachers and the staff of our Learning Center, that the children might know that they are saved by grace through faith, and it is the gift of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
endow our President Joe, our Governor J.B., our Mayor Steve, federal and state legislators, county commissioners, city officials, and all our judges with grace to rule for the maintenance of goodness and the hindrance of evil. Give us compassion for couples and their families struggling through separation and divorce. Protect those who serve in the armed forces, especially Danny, Jason, Blake, and our police officers, especially Daniel and Alex. that they may diligently carry out their duties and be protected from all harm and danger. Bless the labors of all those who work honestly with their bodies and minds. Lead employers to provide useful employment to the unemployed, just wages for all those who labor. Encourage those who work for their families and church with the knowledge that their labors are not in vain. Bless our universities, colleges, and schools, so that knowledge may be increased among us and all good learning flourish and abound. Bless all who teach and learn, and grant that they may ever look to you for humble hearts. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless our shut-ins, Carolyn, Patty, and Tom, our elderly, Violet. Provide for the needs of Kevin, Levi, Larry and Deb, Christina, Harold, Jim, and Charlotte, Denise, also for Anita. We give thanks to you for a baby boy, Cash Sawyer, born to Eric and Kiera. We ask you would be with Christina and Benjamin and their unborn child. Be with our students, with Kara, Jonathan, Sarah, Sadie, Alexis, also with Tom as he goes off to college. We ask that you would provide for them with your word and sacrament wherever they may be. Let us pray to the Lord. We also ask that you would be with the granddaughter of Donna and continue to provide healing for her. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
Thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.